Our first scripture reading for tonight will come from Isaiah. Be reading from chapter 9 in the book of Isaiah, and it is found on page 593 of your Pew Bibles, and we will be reading from verse 2 to verse 7 of chapter 9. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our epistle reading will come from the book of Hebrews. We'll be reading from chapter 1 in the book of Hebrews. It is found on page 1044 of your Pew Bibles. And we'll be reading from verses 1 through verse 4. So this time, let us again listen to God's word for us. In many and various ways God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of God's nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. And our gospel reading for tonight will come from the Gospel of John. And we will be reading from the first chapter of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 18. It is found on page 922 of your Pew Bibles. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. John bore witness to him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me.'" And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made God known. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. So we are here on this night that we've all been waiting for, this night that we have been preparing for over the course of the last few 4 weeks in the season of Advent. Doesn't feel much like Christmas Eve tonight. It's a balmy 60-some degrees, going up to 70 degrees tomorrow for Christmas. So doesn't seem or feel a whole lot like Christmas. But that hasn't stopped people from finding the Christmas spirit. I was going along Germantown Avenue day before yesterday and noticed that there was a great many people out who seemed to be filled with Christmas cheer. People caroling and singing and having all kinds of a wonderful time in anticipation of this wonderful season and this wonderful day, Christmas Day, when we celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world. Tonight, of course, is the night that we celebrate that birth. And we preachers sometimes have a hard time on Christmas Eve. How do we find something new to say about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world? Someone once gave me a bit of advice for Christmas Eve. They said, just tell the story. That's what people come to service on Christmas Eve to hear. They just come to hear the story. I think that's true. I think that's perhaps why you have taken time out of your busy schedules tonight. You've come here tonight to hear the story, to hear the Christmas story. Something about this story, this Christmas story, that speaks to that deep longing that we all have for home, the deep longing that we have for a better world. It has been said that perhaps the most important thing that separates us human beings from the rest of creation is that we are creatures that live out of stories. Our lives are shaped and determined by the stories that we hear, the stories that we tell ourselves, and so we are here tonight on Christmas Eve, gathered together as God's people, to hear once again the story, the Christmas story. Unlike Matthew and Luke, John doesn't have much of a birth narrative. He doesn't have much of a story about Jesus' birth. In John's Christmas story, there is no Joseph or Mary. There's no shepherds or angels, no stars or stables or wise men traveling from afar. In John's gospel, there's not even a little baby. John simply tells us that in the beginning was the Word. The very heart and mind of God. That's what word means, the logos. The very heart and mind of God. And John says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt among us human beings with all of our brokenness and all of our shortcomings and all of our pathologies. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, please don't be offended by this. Personally, I think that you're all a very appealing bunch here this evening, especially sitting there in the warm glow of Christmas expectation. There's something about Christmas that brings out the best in all of us and makes all of us more appealing. But I've always been intrigued by the notion that God, the maker of heaven and earth, would actually come and dwell among us. That God would pitch God's tent among us. That God would leave the safety of heaven where the streets are always clean and the lawns are always cut and there are no broken or boarded up windows to come and be in our midst, in the midst of this world. That he would come and be with us. And yet that's what we are told on this Christmas Eve, that God has come to be with us broken human beings. I'm sure God watches the news. I'm sure God is aware of what a terribly dangerous neighborhood the world is, of how terribly difficult the world is, the trampling boots of the warrior, the blood and the suffering and the pain of this world, the brokenness of this world, and yet we are reminded that God comes to be among us. It speaks to the great love that God has for the world and the great love that God has for each and every one of us. We pastors are often called to practice a ministry of presence, which is just a fancy way of saying that we are called to be with people during the darkest and most difficult times of their lives. During times of sickness and death, during hardship and loss, we are called to be present. Not because we can do much to change or alter the situation, but we are called to be with people to offer words of spiritual consolation and to remind them that in the midst of all that they are going through, that they are not alone. But the Word of God who comes to be with us on this night doesn't come simply to offer a ministry of presence. But it comes to be with us in order to save us. That's what the name Jesus means. God saves. To you, this day, a child is born, a Savior. Isn't that what our deepest Christmas longings are really all about? Isn't that the reason that we have taken time out of our busy activities tonight to be here in this place, to hear once again that no matter how dark the world may be, that no matter how dark our individual lives may be, that we have not been forsaken, that God has pitched God's tent among us as one of us in order to save us. I've always believed that one of the things that we need to be saved from is our understanding of God. Many of us succumb to a vision of God as a great big heavenly tyrant, distant and remote, who is up there somewhere. A great big heavenly tyrant that we hope will one day come down and crush our enemies and destroy those who we would consider to be the evil doers of our world. That's the vision of God that Israel had long harbored. A vision that compelled the prophet Isaiah to cry aloud, "Oh, if you would only tear open the heavens, Lord, and come down. If you would only come down, Lord, and rescue little Israel. If you would only come down and straighten this world out. If you would only come down." It is a vision of God that helps to shape our own identity. If we can just be like God, we sometimes say, if we could just be big enough and strong enough like God, then we can do God's work of crushing our enemies and eviscerating the bad guys. But on that first Christmas, God does come down. But the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God that becomes flesh and dwells in our midst, is not a great big heavenly tyrant. He is not a God like the Roman emperor who exercises arbitrary power and control. He is not a God like a powerful corporate executive officer who seizes the reins of a Fortune 500 company. He is not a God who comes repelling from heaven, Rambo-style God guns blazing in the torrent of heavenly special effects. That's not the God that we get on Christmas. That's not the God that comes to be with us on Christmas. But instead, God comes to us in a little vulnerable baby, born to a poor teenage mother in a desperate backwater on the far-flung edges of the Roman Empire. And John wants us to know in his Christmas story that it is in the new life of this little baby that we celebrate during Christmas that God is made known to us. This baby will become and is the imprint of God. He is the heart and mind of God. He is the Word of God that has come to be among us and for us. I know that Christmas is sort of a traditional time for most of us. It's a sentimental time. It's a time that we get together with friends and family, a time that we come together to celebrate. There's something about Christmas that sends us back into time, reminiscing about all of those wonderful Christmases of old. But Christmas is not just about nostalgia. It is not just about tradition. It is not just about time with family and friends. Christmas is about newness. It is about the creation of God's new world in the midst of the old. And that's why John begins his Christmas story harking back to the words of Genesis in the creation story. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was God's Word of healing, God's Word of hope, God's Word of grace and truth, God's words of forgiveness, God's words of salvation, God's Word of incomparable love for all of us, and indeed for the whole world. It was all with God in the very beginning. And John says that the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning of a whole new creation, a whole new world in the midst of this dark, dark world. Of course, there has always been those who have resisted the newness. There have always been those who have had no room in their hearts for the Word of God in our world. There have always been those who have warred against Christmas. John tells us that the Word of God, the Word that became flesh, came home, came among his own people, and his own people did not receive him. Imagine that. Imagine waiting for something. Imagine longing for something, stepping up on your tiptoes day and night, waiting and longing for the Word of God to break into the world. But when it comes, you don't receive it. You reject it. Those are cautionary words for all of us tonight who are waiting and longing for the coming of God in our world. There are some people, there are some who resist the word of God breaking into our world. I was in the Starbucks the other day and a gentleman came in, sat down beside me, and he noticed that I was reading a commentary, and so he said, "Are you a believer?" And I said, "Yep, I am. Sure am. I'm a believer." He said, "I am too. And one thing that I don't tolerate as a believer is a war on Christmas. Someone says happy holidays to me, I respond back with a loud and hearty Merry Christmas." "Amen," I said. "I do too. I don't countenance a war on Christmas." And there's always been those who have warred against Christmas. But it has nothing to do with whether we say happy holidays or Merry Christmas. It has nothing to do with whether we call Christmas tree a Christmas tree or a holiday tree. But any time we fail to have room in our hearts for others, we war against Christmas. Any time we fail to open our hearts or have compassion for those in need, we war against Christmas. Any time we countenance hatred, hateful words directed towards others, we war against Christmas. But John's Christmas story has something else important to tell us. John says that for all of those who listen, to all of those who received the Lord Jesus Christ, for all of those who believe, that God gave us power to be the children of God. He gave us the power to become the children of God. That would be all of us. And let that sink in for a moment. You and I have been given the power to be what Jesus is. Christmas is not just a celebration of the birth of Christ in our world. It is not just the coming of Jesus Christ in our midst. But Christmas is the celebration of our own birth too. It is the celebration of our own rebirth, our own transformation. Because of Christmas, we too are what Jesus is. We too are the light of the world. We are the imprint of God. We are God's words in flesh. We are God's words of generosity in flesh. We are God's words of peace in flesh. We are God's words of joy in flesh. And we are God's love for the world in flesh. We are the word of God that is called to be in the midst of this darkened world. We are the words of God that are called to be the light of this world. And that's the story that together we are called to live out. We are called to live out the Christmas story in our very lives, in all that we do. We are called to be that light that shines forth the glory of God's love for each and every one of us, indeed for the whole world. And that is why we come here tonight. We come to hear the story, the Christmas story. We come to listen to that story one more time. the story of God's great love for the world and God's newness, the creation of God's new world in the midst of this world of darkness. In Christ, we are a new creation. In Christ, our humanity is renewed. In Christ, we too become somewhat divine. We become what Christ always was, a child of God. That's the news that we are called to take out into this dark, dark world. That's the light that we are called to bear in a world that is filled with darkness. On this Christmas Eve, as we wait in anticipation of the coming of the Christ child in our midst, let us remember who we are, that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we belong to God, that we have God's character, and that we are indeed God's word of peace and love and joy for the whole world. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come together tonight as your people, as we come together filled with hearts of anticipation, as we come filled with joy and hope and peace and love, we ask that you give us the power to live out your newness in the midst of our world. Strengthen each one of us to be your special words among our community, among our families, among our country, in this world. Help us to be your people. Help us to proclaim the good news for all of your people. And in a world where warriors trample even today, in a world where leaders are confused and perplexed, in a world where violence seems to rule the hearts of all of us, in a world where words of hatred and contempt drip from the lips of those who would seek to govern us, in a world where we too are tempted to hear those words of hatred and contempt and exclusion, help us to hear once again this story, the story of your great love for each and every one of us and your great love for the whole world. Rekindle our hearts so that we might truly be the light of the world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.